Alright, time for another Google is Evil, DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah, okay, so this is the video. I was probably going to do comments, so I guess I can pop that into here. Anyway, some comments, but just the overview thing. What's the real agenda here? Is just making an argument. I'm an advocate, okay, for an approach to living that's something like stop, pause, wait. You gotta fix it before you put somebody in this spaceship. You gotta build it better. It's not really working. We gotta be more careful, we gotta be more thoughtful, we gotta think about whether we have to do any of this stuff. Is it, how expensive is it? Are there really, too many people paying too high a price for too silly an adventure? I'm sort of advocating that, look, we're just fish, and we're all writing a story. Oh, I have such an important fish life, and I got a piece of food, and then I pooed, and then I went over to that rock over there, and I did this and that. And, we're all thinking we're writing some sort of meaningful story, and there's only trillions of these stupid stories, written by every stupid chimpanzee. Every singing and dancing fish. Thinks it's on some great adventure. Some of them are interesting stories. Okay, there's little conquering evil things and, endeavoring to persevere and, all kinds of... So what? it just isn't worth anything. They're just stories. Just stupid little, I'm caught up in it stories. So the thought that pops into my head for, one of the thoughts of, just how silly the whole thing is I remember going to Las Vegas, and you see these, they had slot machines in the grocery store, and there's women who just sit in chairs all day, pulling the one-armed bandit, just putting their, their food stamp money in the machine. Pull the arm, click, 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 click. You're saying this is the story? I mean, we're doing all this, so this is for this? So, and then in a sense, you could say that the modern version of that, although it has a little more integrity as a story, they're not just waiting for three little cherries to pop up on the screen. The whole virtual thing, the whole let's play Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. Whatever the game is, and just tell, it's a better storytelling than this mundane life, yeah, but, come on, it's just so obviously just storytelling, it's just, it's a soap opera, doing it over and over again, and, expecting what? That the themes or the formula changes? It doesn't change, it's just this, adversity shows up and I conquered adversity. I'm a hero. Not nearly good enough is the argument I'm an advocate for. I'm on the political party that says not nearly good enough. Okay, this just isn't worth the ticker price. Let's not buy this lemon. And there's a bunch of people, financing the construction of the building of the Frankenstein monster, the lemon. And you're just saying, why are they doing that? Stop doing that. Come on. What are you doing? What are you thinking? How do you possibly turn this into some sort of happily ever after bullshit? Because it's not. It's just psychology. It's just people sitting in their chair, trying to win money. It's just stupid. Silly addiction. Just chasing your tails. Chasing your fins. Your tail fins. Yuck. Alright, so, I have a dilemma in the sense that, my life is a little bit, because, I think about this stuff. I can't get caught up in it. Now, I can understand when you're caught up in it, you're caught up in it, okay? When you're busy chasing, not thinking about what you're chasing and just how humiliating it is that you're chasing it. I mean, another thought popped in my head was the whole nerd image, right? I mean, they use this in cartoons and whatever, TV shows. The standard nerd, And it's like the retard image for the internet, If you think if you're going to have an argument on the internet, it's, a retard. and you think you're going to win, you're winning something, you're not winning anything. I mean, it's all that perspective that just, you're just saying, that's, people are just stupid. I mean, they're really not very connected to actual reality. And so, they don't get it because they're not in the right, they're not playing the right game. I probably could move this over. I don't know if it matters. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the comments are usually useless. And yes, this was pretty typical of that uselessness. But whatever. Thanks, for some contribution, some interaction, I suppose. I mean, the interaction really needs to be focused on the idea of how you manage this task of, negotiation. So I guess that's a comment I should go to first. So somebody who calls himself True Neutral, which is just kind of funny because of the question. So he's asking me to opine on the, Russian-Ukraine war. That you could call a kind of civil war. It's a kind of a separatist war. So you can make comparisons to the decision that Lincoln had to make, I'm sure there was plenty of people saying, just let the South succeed, who cares? And then there were people who would argue, 50% or more of our infrastructure, our investment in America is in the South. And, there's a lot to hold on to. And then, once we allow this separation, we're just going to become competing nations. So it's going to be like having France or Germany right on our border. Is that going to be very constructive? Not much likelihood that that'll be constructive. So you don't want big ideological differences, separated by a single, by a line. You want something a little bigger or better than just a line in the ground, like another country. something in the middle. And that's my, my basic argument is that I would agree with somebody who's taking the longer view and saying, is it really good for the people who exist in both of those countries to have this threat, of like a Cuba-America kind of thing, right? Except you're talking about a much bigger Cuba. And my tendency is to say, yes, anything. The Ukraine is clearly basically told the world, we're for sale, okay? We will do business with anybody, so yes, bring us your you want to put your SDI missiles on our country? We'll talk about it. If you give us enough money, we'll do it. So they've already made it clear that they're willing to, threaten the security of Russia. So what's the long-term plan? Ukraine goes completely capitalist and it has to live right next door to Russia, and China on the other side and blah, blah, blah. And that's going to work out just fine. Somebody could see how. That's probably not going to work out just fine. It's just going to create a lot of conflict between the two countries. They're going to waste a lot of resources, fighting with each other and sabotaging each other and, all that crap. And so, So in the end, look, I philosophically have to say, yes, I'm for one world government. I'm for a really good one-world government, a really good, German constitution. They have a good constitution. It doesn't have to be American constitution. But, some constitution that guarantees you certain liberties. You have the right to do what you want to do as long as you're not threatening or offending or trespassing on somebody else's liberty, right? The whole Jeffersonian idea of your liberty stops where another person's liberty begins. So they have a right to live. You don't have a right to kill them. You don't have a right to be reckless. You know, all that kind of stuff. And then we can have, you know, let's have wars about real subjects, like whether you're allowed to eat meat, you know, whether you're allowed to burn Jews in your, you know, ovens, you know, or some other kind of crap. You know, where, you know, there's lots of things to argue about and to disagree about. We shouldn't be disagreeing about the basic idea that each and every human being should be educated and has a right to earn a place in the world and earn it. You know, and the whole idea that people should earn it, not be, you know, there shouldn't be birthrights and all that kind of crap. We shouldn't be living. We shouldn't have to refight the French Revolution. You know, we shouldn't have to refight the American Revolution. You know, slavery and, you know, birthright are really bad ideas. Let's kill those and build some sort of civilization on some sort of simple theme, right? It just isn't that complicated, right? I mean, it's really easy to say, well, fuck communism. If communism means I have to think like, it's fascism, okay? If communism is you have to think like us, you know, us, the government, well, fuck that. So if the government doesn't have an opinion and it just, you know, the only opinion it has is, yes, your rights end where that guy's rights begin, well, that's okay. So if that's the government opinion, yeah, that's a good government opinion. And that's what it should be about. So, but frankly, I think it's the only, you know, it's the only plan that's going to work for the future, right? I mean, it's just kind of scary that people still haven't figured out that war isn't going to work. I mean, unless you kill all the people that you're, you know, the country you're invading, unless you kill them all, they're just a threat. They're just terrorists waiting to terrorize your establishment, whatever you try to establish. So it isn't going to work. You know, it's futile, but I can see where, well, the fact is it's also inevitable because you're the future you're forcing, okay? It's sort of like the protesters who decide to go stop traffic or something. It just can't work, okay? You're just forcing more conflict, and you're not doing your cause any good because all the people being inconvenienced by you aren't going to say, thank you for inconveniencing me. You know, that's not going to happen. Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, even, you know, the fact that even political people can't even come up with rational strategies in defense of their causes is, you know. But somebody could accuse me of the same thing. I've been a little sloppy in, I guess, the development of this channel. I mean, I probably should have never brought up the red button subject, you know. The very fact that, yes, although I believe in law and order and all of those things, I also concede that we all have a responsibility to our conscience. And, you know, if it's against the law, say, to go into Germany and stick a fork in Hitler's eye, well, it's a law I'm willing to violate. Okay, so, yeah, I'm willing, where necessary or where it's possible, to do the right thing, that I, you know, just because I know it's right. I know it's as right as my devotion to democracy, let's say. I'm just as confident that democracy is the right answer as I am confident that certain activities are criminal. You know, certain legal activities, currently legal. So anyway, like procreation, for example. Really shouldn't be legal. I mean, there's, you know, people shouldn't sit there and be allowed to make a mess and say, it's okay, it's natural. Mess making is natural. Well, that's not a good enough excuse. You got to come up with something better than that. You got to have a better purpose than that. Can't just be making Frankensteins. Yeah. That's bullshit. All right. So anyway, so true neutral asks me to be unneutral. So I can't really, I mean, I empathize with, you know, there's people in countries like the Ukraine. They have a history. The fact is that Russia neglected the new Ukraine when it was part of their consolidated country. It's clear that people have been trespassed. But it's the same kind of argument you can make about, you know, the South wouldn't have had anything, they wouldn't have had anything of value that is a breadbasket if it wasn't for slavery. I mean, it was the slaves who made the land fertile and built that infrastructure. And the fact is, it's Russia that made the Ukraine something worth having, something worth being a nation, okay? I mean, it would be sticks and stones. It would be kind of a nasty place to live if it wasn't for, okay, those past crimes, okay? So, I mean, there's lots of crap in the stories for both sides, and I'm saying I'm being neutral in the sense that I'm just being neutral on the side of what's best for the future of the people in both countries. And I think what's best for the future is that you can't have two separate countries. Isn't a good idea, especially two countries that are in this, you know, who have a tendency to be as black and white as America and Russia. That's not going to be very good. All right, anyway. So I think that's an answer. So this other guy responds to it by basically saying, yes, I would join the Russian army and become a terrorist against, you know, I sabotage that army or something like that. I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, the whole idea of being conscripted, okay, to fight a war, you know, they really got to offer you a pretty good bonus package, you know. If you survive, you got to come back to a pretty good salary or something, some kind of privilege for your potential sacrifice for a cause that just, you know, it shouldn't have come to this, you could argue. I mean, but whatever. I mean, it was a long time coming. It's been, you know. So, yeah. It just seems to me they should have, every war, it seems to me they should have been able to negotiate, you know, some sort of arrangement that, you know, lets you get to the future, the best future. But anyway, so this MC guy says, if the universe is infinitely large, so I hate this crap because it really doesn't have anything to do with our dilemma here. And if there were, okay, now I'm arguing that there's, you know, certain improbabilities about our existence, okay, like substantial improbabilities, like we are kind of a miracle that we exist. In terms of the how many permutations, how many mixtures of chemistry you have to do before you come up with the mixture that ends up going this far, you know, getting to this point of a human intelligence. Very unlikely. All right, lots of one-time events. The first human, for example, okay, I mean, we're the only vocabulary-enabled organism on Earth. You know, lots of things to point out. The only one that arose, and there was only one neuron that arose, and there was only, oh, I mean, I could just, you know, go through all of the things that had, you know, required this one-time event, and it doesn't happen over and over again. Even though the whole planet is littered with DNA, it just doesn't find that way. It only found it once. So this is sort of like stacking dice, okay? You're rolling Yahtzee dice and they're, you know, landing stacked on top of each other. And you could argue that there's a certain, like I could have five dice, and the fact is it's impossible for all five to stack unless I, you know, throw them in some eccentric way. So let's just say the way they're being thrown, it's just not possible. There's not enough energy to get that fifth dice all the way to the top. So no dice could ever acquire enough energy in the system to get that fifth dice up there. So it's impossible. And then the fourth might be, you know, there might be only three ways to do it out of a gazillion trillion, you know, ways of rolling the dice. So, I mean, this infinity thing just doesn't mean anything because first there's things that are, impossible even in an infinite universe. And then there are things, okay, that are so unlikely that, it would take five infinities. it would take, it's just not likely, you have to be an infinite length in the infinity before you get to the point where you say, it's a possibility, that it should have happened by now. There's no it should have happened by now for some events because of those probabilities. So you can mix this crap just as infinitely as you can, in terms of where it is located. You can think there's an infinite locations in the infinite universe. and then you have an infinite number of, times, and then you have an infinite number of possible combinations. So it's just, it doesn't, you're just, it's just shit talk, in my opinion, in the sense that it doesn't really have anything to do with the subject of probabilities and outcomes and all that kind of stuff. So you certainly could argue that if you're saying we've happened before, then you'd have to say there's all kinds of potentials for our future in terms of the future can go lots of different ways based on what we have are doing. Okay, so one person changes the world and it goes in one direction. Somebody changes it in another direction. So depending on what TV show somebody watched, whether their TV tube burned out sooner or later and they didn't see a certain cartoon that changed their life. just radically change their perspective. All of that's in the mix. And so you've got to argue that, well, it just doesn't seem likely that if this happens, that there's no future where this intelligence thing ever gains any control over the system, the mechanics of the universe. In any way that would send any kind of signal into the universe that we could hear. I mean, realistically, they've had billions of years of head start on us. We're not like the first thing that happened in the universe. So, where's the, there should be evidence of it, you could argue. But whatever. I just, it doesn't change anything about our dilemma. Whether or not there's other people in trouble on some other planet in some faraway galaxy has nothing to do, in a sense, with your decision here. In the sense, as long as you concede, there's nothing you can do about their problem. It's not realistic, to think there's anything you can do to change anything. Because even if you could send them a message that they could actually understand, what would you say? You should pause and think about what you're doing. Yeah, okay. So if we heard that from the universe, you think it would change much? We'd just say, well, that's your opinion, you Ukrainian. we would just label them assholes and move along. So, I don't think that would change anything. So it just isn't a very, it's not a very useful, okay, argument except to distract and pretend there's no subject and that we, what we do won't matter. It's just some way of diminishing, by just saying, well, there's billions and billions and trillions of other humans dying every day in the universe, so who cares how many die here? I mean, it's just some way of trying to take a real problem and make it not a problem. So, really unproductive. Fine, you think this changes something about the fish story, that somehow it doesn't make us mindless fish, writing little soap opera stories, if you start talking about infinite universes. Somehow the story isn't as stupid. The lady sitting in the chair pulling the one-armed bandit thing. Yeah. The retard crossing the finish line. Isn't just as pointless and stupid because you put it in an infinite universe. Come on. It's sorry, just useless. Okay, so he says here, yeah, ending human life in the universe may be impossible. Yeah, it may be impossible. It might be possible to blow up the universe. So it's some reason to say that maybe we should keep some portion of human intelligence in the game, you know, just in case, you know, it is possible. But that's an argument to be had way later in this conversation, you know, way later in the conversation about what does the average person do with their little average life and whether or not they should have kids. Or whether having kids should be something socially supported or subsidized. Those are the questions that are more immediate. Okay. But temporarily ending human life locally is possible. So again, your whole sentence, right? Temporarily ending human life. So you really think the probability is that human life would reoccur? You know, if there was life to even reoccur somewhere, even if there were possible, like I said, we don't even, you know, we can't duplicate abiogenesis. So we know it's not a common event. It's not, you know, it doesn't just happen. And it hasn't. That's the evidence, right? Even though we're littered with all the parts, the DNA molecule doesn't reconfigure in some other, you know, arrangement. There's not some other key, not some other structure. It doesn't work. It only works this one way, and it only happens to develop in this one way. You know, this one arrangement is the only one that works. Just like you could argue that the only, you know, there's only three elements that can become magnetic, you know, in a substantial way. You know, there's certain rules. Yeah. All right. Yes, that's enough of that. I don't hate people speculating on the nature of existence, the fact that there is a material universe, the fact that this is all happening, and why it would happen, and how it could possibly happen, and all that crap. But all those conversations should be in the context of saying, well, obviously a god didn't do it, because where did he come from and what created him? So you can't come up with some uncreated, uncaused cause to fix your dilemma of not being able to trace our causes back to a first cause. So you don't solve the first cause question by inventing Superman. You know, that just doesn't work. You still have to explain where Superman came from. What's his evolution story? And so clearly I would argue that the prospect of some thing evolving to be a creator of universes, it seems pretty improbable. That seems like stacking six Yahtzee dice and you only rolled five. So I don't think that's going to be the right answer. So you're not advancing the ball any. I'm just saying, and it doesn't go anywhere. It's a dead conversation in the sense the answer is, well, because it's the way the universe does work. So it is doing something. It's making bubble verses. It's doing something. There's some mechanical thing that the universe is doing. And for whatever reason, okay, there's not going to be some good reason. There's just going to be the reason. Okay, there's going to be the cause, and it's not going to be intelligent or smart or any of that stuff. It's just going to be a fact of what the universe, what the does, you know, the mechanical thing, the machine. All right, so you're really just saying, obviously it evolved, everything evolves, everything evolves, everything evolves, so you just go back and try to figure out the abiogenesis of matter. You know, how does matter get to be matter? Yeah. So you could argue, you know, first how force gets to be force. You know, you could argue that the matter is a piece of force that's got, you know, that's become dead in the sense it doesn't have, it's lost its momentum. So it's like two little force bits stuck together just right, and they're both going in opposite directions, so it never goes anywhere, and it's just a dead piece now. Some kind of mechanism like that. So anyway, no one spent, you could spend a lot of time trying to argue through all this crap, but this is just God bothering kind of crap, okay? This doesn't go anywhere. Trying to figure out why the universe is a universe and why it's so big and why it's this and why it's, who cares? All you need to know is that we're just machines. We're robots. All right, mechanical robots, and we've been substantially programmed by DNA molecules, evolution. Okay, and so that the program is selfish and reproductive. And the fact is that our intelligence can tell us that, oh, we're just playing a stupid game, of might makes right, and that's just stupid. So forget it. It's a birthright game. We don't want to play a birthright game. Forget that. So we have to force this thing called life to earn our appreciation and respect. And I think the only way to do that is using our intelligence. I'm basically saying I don't think it's very intelligent to waste a bunch of time talking about why there's a universe. But whatever. All right, let's see. So this guy, I guess, is sort of, ending his own life. So he's bailing out last week. So he's only got one full day left when he wrote this 4 days ago. So he's been dead for 3 days. So yeah, I think he says the key thing is capitalism. So that's all. So he thinks that's the only problem, but whatever, or the problem. Really, no, sorry. Don't mean to tread on a recently dead person, but that's not much of a thing to say. Capitalism is just evolution, okay? I mean, in a sense, it's just capitalism is just the moronic evolution model put, given social authority. It's just the selfish gene bullshit. It doesn't recognize how investment should be controlled in the sense that we can tell what is likely to be a good idea and what's a bad idea. Curing malaria, good idea. Dumping dioxin in the water supply, bad idea. I mean, it really isn't that hard to figure out what's worth investing in and what's not worth investing in. And we shouldn't let greedy scoundrels just make these decisions, because a lot of times they're going to pick the one that just makes them the most money, and they're not going to care how much dioxin gets in the water. All right, so viewer number six. Well, not very useful either. Okay, so this guy's talking about words, I suppose that's sort of interesting that words have funny things they say. If you cut the word in half, it says something stupid and funny. But yeah, I'm not very interested. Yeah, sorry. No, couldn't care, really. All right, so this was a weird sentence. Terrestrial inmate. So it's a good name, but to my mind, logic and proportion have always been sloppy dead. So you're using the word mind, and then you're insulting logic and proportionality. I mean, so those are basically two the same words, right? And the proportionality comes from you logically recognizing, the yin and the yang, or logically dealing with something's actual size versus its apparent size, the book versus the cover thing. So, yeah, so I just don't know. You're saying to my mind, you're just saying to my insane stupidity. Or so, I mean, what's the point of saying there's something wrong with doing logic? And doing logic, recognizing that our view is often skewed by perversion. I mean, you could argue that any sexual desire is perverse in the sense that it's a completely exaggerated, nonsensical notion of desirability and attachment or beauty. and that it's all just subjective mush, and there's nothing actual to it. There's no defendable logic to it. Okay. That's not to say that they don't give good guidance. So, and what else do? What bad thing do they do? You know, besides always being, it's always better to think than to not think, and it's always better to think with facts than to think with no facts, and facts do the logic. You don't have to do logic. Facts do it for you. 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, the two-ness is right there in front of you, right? And you're just saying, well, I'm just going to add two-ness plus two-ness. I obviously got four-ness. I don't have to do anything. You know, the logic is built into the mechanics of the facts. The fact will point to the next fact. I don't have to do anything except have the facts right. So, but they never seem to get enough traction. Well, I don't know if you're helping any. So it seems to me you're just pouring oil on the road. To my mind, logic and proportion have always been sloppy dead, whatever that means. I've always found a way to evade bothering with that. I don't know what you're saying. I mean, your statement should be these are really important. It's really important for us to act recognizing our fallibility, and that we do have to make sure we're seeing it right. We're subject to mirages. We're subject to preoccupation. We're subject to addiction and irrational behavior because of it. And so we have to be constantly aware of that. Somehow this got unpinned. I'll have to fix that, I suppose. All right, exactly, this is a good point. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of time codes without any context in this. It's just, okay, I'll go figure out what he said at, 1954. No, I don't think that'll happen. All right, so this is a cardinal consideration. And, this is a nice little statement about the nature of this conflict between our attraction to life and our fear of death. And what's really motivating us in life is a fear of losing, not really a need to win, right? So we're more concerned about being embarrassed or losing than we are concerned with actually accomplishing something. It's just, don't embarrass yourself, don't lose, don't be a failure. Be any kind of success, just don't be a failure. That we're not so much chasing the good, we're chasing the unpleasantness of bad, of loneliness or this or that. We're driven into the future, we're driven forward down the path more by fear than by any real perception that we're actually heading for a good place. And that gets more obvious. I mean, the more tainted you get in life, the more life experience, the more you figure out how, I know this, even though it's nice to get something, have it, your precious things, that there really isn't any ring of power. There's no, there's no toy. There's no thing to have that will actually do what you thought it might do, like fix something. Like once that's done, everything will be just fine. So I go through that with projects. There's certain projects you have, and you get the project done, and you think, it's all good now. There's just more projects that pile up, so there's more shit to do. So it doesn't, It's not as, the good just isn't so much. And it really is just being pushed by the bad of, I have a bunch of obligations I haven't fulfilled. I don't want to be shamed by not completing my obligations, not satisfying my obligations, blah, 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 that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's all kind of, the driving force is all very negative. And this should be I think there should be a reasonable argument to people just how negative most of their, it's more flight, it's more fight than flight. Yes, even those two things, fight or flight, you know, those aren't two great choices, right? Fighting or running away. Who wants either one of those? So we're back to the war argument almost. You know, I mean, yeah, I want the better future, but I mean, I don't want to pay for it. You know, so, that's the dilemma. So anyway, so yes, that's a more fruitful conversation about what exactly psychologically is compelling people. What's driving you? What really is motivating you in your life? I mean, do you really want to just see the bad guys lose, or is there really some good guy you want to win? Yeah. Or is that the trick, that you're really just against bad guys and you really, there isn't any good guys? So, you know, it's only going to be bad guys killing bad guys, and they all might as well get killed. There's no sad outcome, you know, in terms of, there can be a perpetrator and a victim, and they could both be assholes. And so it's like, oh, perfect. The perpetrator that's going to be a victim of this perpetrator is now dead, and then we can put this one in jail. But then we have to pay for that, so it'd be better if the, you know, if the hero gets killed. You know, like both sides just disappear because neither side has any, they're not fighting for anything real. They're not fighting for anything good. All right, anyway. Yeah, it's all part of the psychology. And so the meaning of death and the meaning of the fact that you're hopeful that you're not going to be one of the people who has to die horribly, and all of your wishful thinking about how it's going to happen to you and you're going to be lucky and all the things that have to go into you making any kind of, making it more tolerable and acceptable in defense. So the defenders do have a kind of high burden here, you know, to explain why it's all worth it, you know, the bad endings are worth it. You know, no, they're really not. The unfinished stories, the lost potential, you know, the wasted potential, the degrade in people's futures based on, you know, all of these, you know, horrible circumstances that happen. You know, your parents get killed in a car accident when you're 5 years old, and you end up being raised by an asshole, and you turn into an asshole, and, you know, all the broken fates and the, you know, all this sloppy, ugly shit, and that somehow we're doing something to make it worth it. Man. Good luck with trying to defend that. Anyway, all right. Let's see. So, you know, I make a video pointing out how, you know, I'm in the process of thinking about how to make this argument to a universal audience. The trick is, right, is that people come to the conversation with all kinds of wacky beliefs, right? One guy's obsessed about, you know, what's the universe? Who's the first cause? What's the first cause? Or infinity universes and all this other. You know, people are coming from all kinds of perspectives. And I somehow have to make an argument that can work on any one of those initial conditions. That somehow I can say something, okay, like a Jefferson statement, you know, your rights end with another person's rights begin. Well, somehow I have to, you know, when I say those words, I have to first be assured that this guy from the South or something who doesn't recognize that other people, okay, that like black people are other people. I mean, if they don't recognize that they fit into the category, satisfactorily, we can't have the conversation because, yeah, he's not recognizing his obligation. He's not recognizing the rights of the other persons. Okay. So you could even say that rich people do that with their entitlement and their inheritance and all that kind of crap. They just kind of break all the rules. They tell other people to pull their bootstraps up and all that kind of crap when they never had to pull on a boot ever. Anyway, I saw you have written a couple of paragraphs on your website. Yeah, well, no. Yeah, it's kind of a monstrous task to come up with some universal language that you could put this simple idea in. You're a fish singing and dancing and saying how great you are. I mean, it's that silly. And all I have to do is get you to understand that's the truth. There's nothing more to the game. You're still just picking at the coral. You're still just a big mouth, you know, a digestive tract. And you're just still squirming through the adventure with an agenda to acquire food and bitches. Anyway, but I'm just wondering if you've ever completed your goal, and if so, where I could find it. So you kind of say, well, this is really Billy Tanks is just Farley or somebody, right? This is just a troll, because what, obviously, if I had some book somewhere, I probably would have a link somewhere and all that kind of crap. I might be reading chapters. Yeah. It'd be free book, no doubt, online. Why wouldn't I link to it? So obviously, you're just playing a game. So, you know, liars. You know, there's just so many people just talk shit on the internet. So, and then this guy does some Russian crap, which, you know, is very useless. He really should consider writing a book. Why? Do you really think people, the percentage of people who read books is higher than the percentage of people who watch videos? I don't think so. YouTube probably won't be around forever. Well, something will be around forever. I mean, the website will be around. Things will be around. So a book would be a great way to preserve his knowledge. You know, it really doesn't have to be a book, right? You're just saying that some place where there's a transcript. But the real idea is to have something concise, you know, that's, you know, not a million videos, not 100 videos. You know, something you can knock down in, you know, that you could read in 10 hours or 5 hours. You know, something more consumable than this active and sometimes redundant and kind of rambly video interaction. I'm sure it would take a lot of work. Yeah, well, it's just the biggest part of the work is the putting it in a universal language, being able to say something that everybody can agree on as a premise. You're just trying to arrange the facts. Well, you have to arrange things that are agreed on as facts. There's no point in me putting the blocks together, fact blocks together, when they don't agree with them. Because then they'll just negate everything you build on top of it. Everywhere the facts point won't be visible because they won't agree on the telescope or the lens you're using to view the future or to view our reality. They don't agree with it. So you have to get that, you have to find a way of saying it that's agreeable. And that requires a lot of trick language, I guess, is the point. All right, a man will come forth who before all other men has dared to strip his soul naked and give himself wholly over to the most profound questioning. Yes, like the Antichrist. Anyway, so this is from it says Zapfeli. But anyway, Zapfi. Right? That's how they say it. Zapfli. I don't know. I never had to say it, so I didn't realize I couldn't say the word. I've heard it said. But anyway. The concession is again, what Zapfli is saying is basically the argument I'm making. that we're heading on a, intelligence doesn't have much choice. It tries. People try to keep us from getting intelligent, right? I mean, the religious kooks keep trying to knock us off the staircase and try to keep us from step by step improving our understanding and our knowledge of the world. And so in some sense, without the Inquisition, they've lost all their power to, keep people ignorant because they can't threaten intelligence with death anymore, in most places in the world anyway. So, yes, but that's the progressive tendency, is intelligence works and it shows itself as valuable. And so it's going to keep being protected to some extent, and the side effect of it is, I'm going to use intelligence to figure out how to make a better highway. You also use or build a better bridge. You use intelligence to opine on the subject of existence itself, and so that philosophical intelligence will grow with the technical intelligence. Will go in a direction, and the direction is up. Okay, it is a place you're going, and the place is already visible. We can already, from here, we can see it. Okay, you can see where the stairs are pointing. We can't quite establish all these staircases as facts yet. Okay, but the it's getting clearer and clearer, and all the facts point towards the futile stupidity of this senseless addiction to this senseless process of squirming through the dead, the graveyard. We're worms eating the dead. We're just, it's a disgusting, pointless waste of motion. Yeah. And what's really being wasted is the torture. We're expending a lot of torture and producing nothing that could really be used to defend any of it. If I had to sign it, if I had to inject all the kids with cancer, and I had to actually step on all the cats, they're going to get run over, and I have to, and choking on glass they ended up eating, and all the stuff, all the bad things happening to stuff, if I had to be the person going out and causing it for the purpose of me getting laid, I wouldn't do it, okay? Yeah, sorry. I won't play that game. I wouldn't play that game. I'm not cruel and stupid. Why the fuck would I do that? Why would I agree to that as part of the contract? Of course I wouldn't. So, fuck this. So that simple argument underlies. And we can see that already. We can see that's the future of intelligence. Intelligence that isn't going to be love Jesus. It's not going to be that. That's not where the truth is heading. Kind of obvious. All right, so that's probably enough of a video, right? All right, so I probably should point out, I did make a couple of other videos this week on the monetary system, okay? Responses to the modern mystic statements. And his statements are pretty much, I don't know how to qualify them. He's talking as if the system actually has some sort of integrity, when it's, we're just heading for the same exact mistakes that led to the Great Depression are exactly the same mistakes we're making all over again. In terms of how, we're in the money, in terms of this silly game rich people are playing with the future of the human race. And the blueprint doesn't work. It didn't work the first time. It won't work this time, okay? Where they're just playing in fake markets, creating fake notions of wealth that can never be realized. And they're just, they're castles, that are just facades. and all of that will be realized, that there's no money behind it, just a bunch of debt. Anyway, there's no real value really being bartered. Okay, they're trading a bunch of fake notions of farmland they don't really have, and sheep they don't have, and buildings they don't have, and land they don't, you know, streams and rivers and oceans and all kinds of things. And they really don't possess any of that stuff, because it never existed and never will exist as real things in the world. But anyway, that's almost too metaphorical a description of the videos. It's just about the banking system and the fact that everybody's bankrupt. And when that's found out, then there's going to have to be a big fight over who should have a house and who shouldn't, who should get fed and who shouldn't. It's going to be a big fight over the real size of the pie, because everybody's bought and sold a pie that doesn't exist. They've sold thousands of pie, slices of pie, and the real pie only has 100 slices. And so it's going to have to be a big fight over who gets a slice of the frickin' pie, what piece you're entitled to, how big a spoonful you've earned. And that's going to get ugly as fuck. But that's where we're heading. The writing is all over the wall. This is not sustainable. It's not sustainable because there will be an event that makes it obvious that there's no pie. Not nearly enough. Okay. Well, that's enough of a reference. All right, so I don't think there's anything else I need to do here. So the bottom line is, I'm trying to tell a simple story that we evolved, that the evolution is, it makes shitty machines, okay? Selfish, stupid, moronic machines that just do this silly agenda of eat shit, lay eggs, and die. It's not very... there's not much integrity to writing that story. that the only thing good about us is the fact that we can think about being worms, fish, and we can understand that that can't go anywhere. There's no future for fishing, you know, being fishy. It doesn't work. There's nothing to do here for intelligence. There's nothing to fix in the universe except the problem created by our existence, the torture. The torture is the problem in the universe. And that's it. There's no other problem but torture. There's nothing intelligence needs to exist in the universe. There's no problem the universe has that we solve. We don't fix anything by existing. We don't improve anything by existing. We just create a huge liability. we start fires. We don't put them out. Put as simply as possible. We cause diseases. We spread diseases. We don't cure them. Those simple metaphors are the statement I'm defending, the conclusion I'm defending. That's all that's happening here. Wasted torture. You either oppose that or you defend it. But that's it. Those are the two sides. Opposing pointless torture or supporting and defending pointless torture. Okay. So, till the next time, wasted torture. Let's put it more specifically. It's wasted. It doesn't buy anything of value. All right. Yeah, that's enough. All right, so this has been a Google is Evil, DoNotGod.com video presentation. So, till the next time and such, so forth and whatnot.